brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you with Shabbat Shalom. May peace be on us this Sabbath day. Today we are reviewing the parable, the tares. You had a talk on horticulture last week. There's another one today. It is a trade and profession that not many people are entering now. Perhaps not many seeing themselves as an Adam. In my garden, we get lots of weeds springing up because there is a lot of bare soil. The man who lived here originally, well, no, that was the monks of Preux from Normandy around 1087 in the time of William II. No, the man who built the place 70 years ago, he kept chickens to supply the Jewish community in London, and horses and pigs, so the soil is very rich. Then, being surrounded by fields, one gets volunteer. That is seed blown in, like wheat, barley, and the yellow rapeseed that has grown abundantly in Norfolk the last few years. Seeds can be in the soil, dormant, for 400 years. Then coming into the light, they burst forth into life. Weeds can certainly have their uses, like the teasel that you see among the flowers down here. I remember my father telling me when he was a boy, he worked in a woolen mill in his small town in Scotland. They used the teasel to tease out the wool before spinning, and that was about 120 years ago. Have a feel later to the jagginess of it. The teasel plant is now used to treat Lyme disease. These weeds you will know. Dandelion is bursting with vitamins A, B, C, and D, and minerals as iron, potassium, and zinc. Every bit of this weed is edible, from the roots to the blossoms. The leaves have more beta-carotene than carrots. Daisies, for gastrointestinal and respiratory tract disorders, and has anti-inflammatory properties. Dox, high in beta-carotene, vitamin C, and zinc. Chickweed, a great source of vitamins A, D, and C, and iron and calcium. Red clover, calcium, chromium, magnesium, niacin, phosphorus, potassium, thiamine, and vitamin C. That's to name a few. You've wondered how the Lord will provide our sustenance in time of trouble? Be concerned no more. It might not be fish and chips, but it won't be for long. And maybe to give our minds and bodies a purifying before we leave this old earth for a higher realm. What do we do with these precious nutrients, free for all? We douse them with weed killer, But today we are not speaking of the garden and hedgerows, but of the word of the Lord, the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the darnel. Lolium temulentum, darnel. It was from its intoxicating properties and its frequency among wheat that it was known as the pest of the farmer. It means dizzy, off balance, nauseous, and it comes from a Latin word for drunk. If its seed remain mixed with the meal, it will cause injurious effects on those who eat the bread. We read that in Syria, the plant, the darnel, is drawn up by hand at time of harvest, along with the wheat, and is then gathered out and bound up in separate bundles. Same as is in Scripture. From Scripture we understand darnel cannot be distinguished or detected from real wheat when growing alongside. Not until near the time of harvest, when the wheat comes into ear or sprouts its fruit, can you see which is the real thing. God has a field, defined here as the whole world. There is a divine meaning and purpose being worked out here. God is guiding history and mankind to an end that will fulfill his purpose. The parable is showing two different works being done in the world. And it provides understanding why there is evil. God plants good seed that become his children. Satan, the wicked one, plants those who are his offspring. Are the sons of the wicked one truly evil people? No. The parable tells us they look and act similar to the son of the kingdom. You cannot tell them apart. The church in the world, and the world in the church. You can choose life or death. You can choose what you say. Proverbs says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. You can choose what you say, what you do, how you spend your time. Every day is filled with choices. And those choices will determine an outcome. Maybe tomorrow, 5, 10, or 15 years from now. It's the choices you made that will have impacted your life. When you choose Christ, you let him take control of your life. When you choose the things of the world, they will take control of your life. When Elijah was confronting the prophets of Baal, he said to Israel, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. What did Jesus say about those who wished to destroy others who would not receive him? Luke 9, verses 55 and 56. He turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Man judges from appearance, but God judges the heart. Is it possible to harm, even destroy, the good in any effort to weed out the tares? God says, let them grow together until the harvest, the end of the age, and coming of Jesus Christ. Then he will make a distinction, as only he can. The Lord knows whose are his. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Jesus warned that many professed faith, but do not know him. In Holman Hunt's painting, The Light of the World, that you've all already seen, Jesus stands in the darkness of the night at this door of the human soul. It is fast barred. Its bars and nails are rusty. It is knitted and bound to its stanchions by creeping tendrils of ivy, showing that it has never been opened. Jesus has a lantern in his hand. A small boy was viewing this picture with his father, and he said, Daddy, why don't they let Jesus in? His father said, I don't know. A moment later, the little boy said, I know why they don't let him in. They live in the basement and can't hear him knock. If we are living in the basement of life, let us move up. Let us open the door of our hearts to Jesus Christ. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. I was a tear. Were you a tear? I needed someone to tell me about my Maker, that I had a Savior. So what are we doing to give others the chance of being redeemed? The Lord has a job for you and me. We just need to apply. A pastor was called to make a long journey to baptize an old man who could not wait any longer for the sacred rite. As I studied the Word of God, this is the pastor. As I studied the Word of God and prayed with him the evening before the baptism, he told me this story. Years and years ago, right where you are standing this evening, my bride and I stood as we were married. Within a few months, on this same spot, her coffin rested. And the minister spoke words of comfort from the Bible. She was a beautiful girl. I looked forward to a long life of happiness with her. But there was one difference between us. She was an earnest Christian, and I was not. I was a worldling through and through, and would not give my heart to God. She pleaded with me, prayed with me, and prayed for me, but I became more and more hardened and stubborn. In my unbelief and sin, I broke her heart. She prayed for me until the last, and when she died, I was unconsolable. I sold this house which I had built and wandered over the earth, not only in this country, but in other lands, seeking forgetfulness and peace. But I could not find that peace because I would not give my heart to Christ. Finally, as an old, broken man, I came back to this part of the country, for I couldn't keep away from the scene of my great joy and great sorrow. I saw a light in this very house which I had built on the hill. I came to the door, a perfect stranger. Others in the neighborhood had refused to receive me into their homes. But these kind people took me in and nursed me back to health. By the example of their wonderful Christian lives and through the power of prayer, I was converted and give my life to Christ. After more than half a century of wandering, I had returned. Oh, why hadn't I accepted the Savior then? I am so thankful that I have come to him at last. The next day, as we gathered at the waterside, people had come from near and far to witness the baptism. The man was quite poorly and could hardly walk, and someone suggested assisting him into the water. He said, "No, I have walked in the paths of sin all my life, and I wish to walk alone with God into this water." No gift to God will make such joy among the holy angels in heaven as the gift of a human heart. Luke 12:8-9. So some take a long time to come to that place. Let us have patience as we await harvest time or Feast of Tabernacles. Do you realize this is the only one of the feasts not yet fulfilled? In ancient Israel, on a certain day each year, 10th day of the 7th month, a special service known as the cleansing of the sanctuary, or Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, or a Day of Judgment took place, and all the people got cleansed and right with God. Interesting then, the next week, 5 days later, 15th day of this 7th month, was the Feast of Tabernacles. We now call it Harvest Festival at church, as a show of all fruits and vegetables available in the shops. But it is us represented on that table. God's harvest without spot or blemish. Revelation 14:16. So he who was sitting upon the cloud swung his sickle on the earth, and the earth's crop was harvested. The harvest is the close and consummation of the age. The Savior does not point forward to a time when all the tares become wheat. The wheat and the tares grow together until the harvest, the end of the world. Then the tares are bound in bundles to be burned. No mincing words here. And the wheat is gathered into the garner of God. When that great tomorrow comes, sin will be gone forever. The redeemed will see God face to face. There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to those that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by, when the sinner shall hear his doom, depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Amen.
Behold, the Father's heart, the mystery he lavishes on us. As deep cries out too deep, oh, how desperately he wants us. The things of earth stand next to him like a candle to the sun. Unfailing Father, what compares to his great love? Behold his holy Son,
Spirit. Behold the Lord.